It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to our Bible study segment, and our teacher Beth Seifert is here at the table with today's lesson in Philippians. Beth, what will we learn today?
Well, today we're going to spend some time discussing what we're thinking about. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, you've probably heard verse 8 quoted before. In fact, I know that it's been quoted on Naomi's Table before. But it's a reality check that we really need to stop and focus on instead of jumping right by those familiar words. In doing so, we're going to look at the flip of each of these words so that we understand what we're supposed to be avoiding as well as what we're supposed to be seeking. Whatever is true is the first on this list. We're to focus on truth. To think about truth. Not relativism, not my truth versus your truth, not what is true for me versus what is true for you. There are absolutes, and there is such a thing as absolute truth. Things that are true 100% of the time, not dependent on any other factors. So what can we know that is 100% of the time true and not someone's opinion? Well, the only book I know of that contains absolute truth is the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is not an opinion piece. It's not subjective. It is the true Word of God. And here are some examples from the Bible of things that are absolutely true 100% of the time that you can be thinking about. Number one, God is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34 tells us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His love endures forever. Number two, God is holy. Leviticus 11:45 tells us, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. We also know, number three, that man is sinful. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number four, God keeps His promises. In Joshua 23:14, He says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Now, I only put down a few things entirely on purpose. If I tried to list off all the truths in the Bible, we'd never get done with this lesson. But think about number one. God is good. Does that depend on the weather? If it's sunny outside, then God is good? No. On our actions? On the actions of those bent on evil? On where God is at? No. No, it depends on nothing but God, and God is good. Same thing for number two. God is holy. Does His holiness depend on anything outside of Himself? Anything at all? No. We cannot dictate the terms in which God is holy, good, or just. By the same token, number three, man is sinful. You know in your own heart, ladies, and your own heart testifies against you. You know the motives of your heart. You know that you choose to do evil instead of doing good. And you know that without someone else acting inside of you, your entire existence would be self-focused. Without the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you from an outside influence, imagine what a nightmare your life would be if you were only ever concerned with pleasing yourself with no consequences to others. Number four, I put the in there to remind us that God does not lie to us. What He says will happen, happens, and what He says has happened, has happened. Now, the opposite of truth is deceit, lying. By focusing on truth, to recognize truth when we see it, we're better able to pick out the lies when we're presented with them. Thus, focusing on the truth of God's word helps us to recognize the counterfeit while it feeds and nourishes us. Whatever is noble. Noble or honorable, depending on your translation, things are those that are characterized by integrity, truth, and possessing high ideals or morals. So we're called to be focusing our minds on things that enforce truth, that are consistent with true and exalted purposes. In contrast, the opposite of noble or honorable would be dishonest, unworthy, unrighteous things. The word that comes to my mind is corruption. Things that are not noble or honorable are corrupt. We're not to fill our minds with those things that are already corrupted, that are being corrupted. We are to fill our minds with those things that reflect the truth so as not to be drawn away from the truth. Whatever is just. Things that are just are things that have a basis in fact and conform to a standard of correctness. In this case, God's standard of righteousness, not our own. Again, justice builds off of truth and it points us to the standard of righteousness that God has established for us. In contrast, whatever is unjust is unfair, undue, unwarranted. Ladies, God is just. He calls us to focus on what is just instead of on what we perceive as unjust. Remember, when measured against His standard of righteousness, there is no one righteous, not even one. And that is just. We didn't receive justice from God. We received mercy, pardon, and grace for breaking His law. Whatever is pure. Pure things are those which are free from any additives that weaken or corrupt it. Focusing on the Bible as God's word, pure and without adding to it our own wants, hopes, or dreams. In our world, I'm afraid God's word is the only pure thing because sin is in the world. Everything has been corrupted and weakened from what it was intended to be. All the more reason for us to diligently pursue the word so that we may not compromise truth, we may not add our own requirements to His word, and that we might not take anything away from His word either. The opposite of pure is corrupt or mixed. Now that made me stop for a second. How often have we heard that we need to, quote unquote, take into account our culture when reading God's word? That where the Bible says to flee from sexual immorality, well, that was only because of the societal norms of that time. And in our quote-unquote enlightened age, we can have as many sexual partners as we want to have, and there's no reason not to. Our cultures and our society's expectations are what we have added to His word, viewing the word through society's lens instead of viewing society through the lens of His word. Whatever is lovely. Those things which are delightful for beauty, harmony, or grace. This isn't looking at things with a covetous heart, but looking at the world around us and seeing those magnificent sunrises and stopping to take it in. To see the harmony of the aspen trees changing color on the side of a mountain, their leaves dancing with such weightless effort in the breeze. God is the ultimate creator. He created things to be beautiful for us to enjoy them. He delights in creating amazingly beautiful things, and they all work together in harmony. Down to the microscopic level, you can see the design of His hand in the leaves and flowers and animals all around us. The contrast to lovely is vile, those things which are of little worth or account, which are corrupted and despised, those things which are out of harmony. Our entire world has been corrupted by sin and has fallen out of harmony with what God intended. So we have illnesses like cancer, which are caused when the very cells in our bodies attack what they are made to support. No longer working for a common goal, those cells are now destroying the body that supports them. Whatever is admirable. Admirable things are those which are deserving of the highest worth or opinion. Things which we should strive to imitate, to adopt as our own. Blamelessness. The contrast to admirable is deserving of condemnation or blame or reproach. Those things which are not admirable are things which we should desire not to be, things that we should strive to stop doing, not to continue doing. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy or eminently good, anything that is not just okay, not just good, but entirely good, we are to focus on those things that we don't have to qualify with words like except and until or but. For example, that was a great movie, except for that scene in the bedroom. Adding that except lets you know that the movie was not excellent, was not something you should have been filling your mind with. The opposite of excellent, praiseworthy is wretched or deplorably bad, completely corrupt, not able to be redeemed. We should not be filling our minds with things that have no worth, that are simply time fillers or wasters, and that put thoughts and images and ideas into our heads that have no value. If it doesn't have value, it is destructive. We're supposed to focus on the excellent, praiseworthy things, not on lies, ignoble actions or things, wrongs, impurities, ugliness, or shameful things. These are all destructive things. These are the things that cause anxiety. These are the things that make us feel that we don't have enough or that we aren't good enough. I really think this sums it all up. When we are focused on the negative, that is what is going to come out. When all we can see are negative things, when all we can do is complain about our children, our spouses, our homes, our lives, we will continue to see those things as negative, and we'll continue to be negative too. Instead, if we can move past that by His grace, if we can make the effort to start seeing the excellent, the praiseworthy, true, pure, lovely, and admirable things, what a difference in our lives! It may mean that we need to turn off the TV news. Now, I know people who never have anything positive to share. They seem to watch the news so that they can relish sharing the latest, most horrible thing they've seen. They aren't much fun to be around. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and have our eyes set on Christ, we can see with His eyes, and it's so much easier to find those lovely and admirable and true and right things. So I'm going to challenge us today. As you go about your day, think about something that you normally complain about. Your children, the drive to work, other drivers, your boss, your spouse. I challenge you instead to thank God for the children He has given you, for the ability to work and the ability to drive to that work, for the ability to beware of other drivers on the road, even when they are seemingly not aware of you, for the ability to work and to do everything without complaining or arguing for that boss that no one likes, for the spouse that He has given you to go through this path together. Focus on the positive. Allow God to change your mindset and your attitude and see how, at the end of the day, your day has changed. Allow God to help you to see the blessings all around you because He is faithful.
Thank you so much, Beth. And you know, ladies, if you want to go even deeper, you can download the notes that Beth has put together for today's lesson on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will talk more about this lesson when we come back.